Welcome back. It's stage four of the Tour de France. It's the Roadman podcast. Let's dive in and analyze the stage. But first, cue the intro.
The big question is this: how do we use cycling as a tool to improve our health, our happiness, and our longevity? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Anthony Walsh, and welcome to the Roadman podcast.
Roadman, welcome back. It's stage four of the Tour de France. How is everybody getting on today? We had 160 kilometers today from Sistrion to Orchez-Merlat, and it was our first hilltop finish of this year's Tour de France. So the first real test to see how the GC guys came out of lockdown. I was absolutely glued to the TV. I've no doubt that all you guys are, inverted commas, working from home, telling everyone you're working so hard, but actually glued to the Tour de France. I know that's what you're up to, so don't even try. Don't even try pull that shit with me. Your boss doesn't listen to the Roadman podcast. Before I dive in, let's just mention our Patreon, patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. I'm going to throw the link in the description. Patreon is how we fund this podcast. To date, we haven't taken on any sponsors, so it's entirely funded from the generosity of the listeners. It's a real people helping people thing. It's all feel good. You know, you want to be part of this little feel good movement? Head on over to patreon.com. Buy me a pint of beer that I can enjoy and savor when watching the Tour de France. The link is in the description. Before I get into today's action, there's definitely some stuff that I would like to cover. Friend of the show, Matt White, had a little bit of problems pronouncing Greg Van Avermaet's the other day. It was in a little bit of a communication that he published on his Instagram, and you can hear his... I'm going to play a little extract. Hopefully it comes out all right for you guys. His Van Avermaet came across a little muffled, and there may be a little song going around about it.
Greg Van Avermaet.
Phenomenon. Hello? Okay, just a second.
It's for you.
Banana.
There you go, Greg Van Amena, Whitey. We'll try and get Whitey on at some point during the Tour de France. Just depends. With the guys that are actually in the tour, it just depends. Obviously, you don't want to put too much pressure on someone to try and come onto a podcast when they have much more important things to focus on. Yesterday's guest, Alan Davis, was really cool to get an insight, and it's chilled out, and there's no pressure getting one of the ex-pros on. Definitely do that. Got a couple of other buddies that I'm going to pull in over the course of the Tour de France podcast and get their insight. But I also want to ram my insight down your throat, because I just have random observations that your World Tour colleagues, our World Tour colleagues, may not have noticed. Like, Christoph was on the podium yesterday looking like a cross between Jay-Z and Kim Kardashian. He was wearing a pair of Skycon glasses, which were diamond encrusted, €5,000 for a set of sunglasses. Now, luckily, he is the toughest man in the peloton, so I think the chances of him getting robbed coming down off the podium are quite trivial. But nevertheless, €5,000, do we need it? Do we want cycling to become this? I don't know, who knows? They're cool fucking glasses, but as a man who recently lost his glasses off the top of his helmet underneath a Dublin bus, the €5,000 set of glasses don't sit well with me. But then again, Christoph is not training in Dublin, and he doesn't have to put up with Dublin bus drivers. So, you know, swings and roundabouts. Something else, I actually don't even want to address this, but I'm going to address it because it's just in the news so much. So I'm going to address it briefly, and I'm going to move on. It's all the drama around Remco Evenepoel, and Paul Kimmage is had an article out today basically questioning Evenepoel. We're in a strange culture where you have to account for every single thing in your pocket. For me, Kimmage is just a man struggling for relevancy, and, you know, being controversial is the oldest trick in kindergarten. Scream loud and be obnoxious and you'll be noticed, and that for me is what Kimmage is up to at the moment. I think I seen a quote from Tom Boonen today, and that kind of sums it up a bit. He said, everyone knows that riders eat and drink and that sometimes supplements are taken. I'm talking about energy bottles like concentrated Red Bull or something like that. Let Remco give the answer himself and then it would be solved. But at what point do we have to, at what point do we need to, do we need to account for every single thing in our pockets? There's every rider in the Tour de France possibly has a concentrated sugar bottle or something similar in their back pocket. So I don't understand the commotion. Exact same boat. I have no idea what the commotion is about. He had something in his back pocket. Woohoo. I have stuff in my back pocket all the time out training. There's a great Tour de France going on and we're focusing on just... do we not need to hold journalists to a higher level of accountability than there was something in his pocket? And there's a whole story about that. It's bullshit. So I'm going to leave that and I'm going to move on from it. To today's stage, I'm going to move on from the dark into the light. Because today is mountaintop stage. It was something of wonder. It was something of delight. And it was our first chance to get a glimpse of the GC, guys. And I always think of these stages nearly like the opening scene of a Shakespearean play where it's people are trying to show their hand. They're kind of, there's a lot of posturing going on and there's a lot of strutting around going on. But there's often not a lot of killing going on. It sets the scene for the battle to come later on. And that's pretty much what happened today. The first hilltop finish like this, especially when it's not an Alpine finish or a Pyrenean finish, it's more about not losing time than it is about winning and gaining time on your competitors. And I think most of the big GC guys done a good job today in not losing time. A breakaway dominated the stage. It was pretty much uneventful, so I'm not going to recap much of it. The only thing that was eventful on it was Thijs Benoot crashing out of it and his Cervelo breaking in half. Why I noticed this was, I just know a lot of people whose Cervelo has smashed in half, mine included, smashed a Cervelo. They're such a beautiful bike. If anyone's had a chance to ride a Cervelo, it's an amazing bike. It's the best bike I've ever ridden, to be honest. But every single person, almost without fail, I know that has a Cervelo, has broken their Cervelo. It's like they're making it from some sort of composite eggshell material. Cervelo probably won't thank me for saying that, but look, it's just what I noticed. It's like, what was that show you used to watch before Mass on a Sunday? Catchphrase, say what you see. That's what it is. Say what you see. You see Thijs Benoot's Cervelo in half? You gotta call it. It's made of eggshells. Sivakov was dropped very early today with the sprinters. Sivakov, the climbing domestique from Team Sky. I don't think it's too much of a surprise given the big smash he took on the opening stage. But what it did get me thinking about was Ineos. And they look like a, I don't want to dramatise this and say a dying force because Bernal was there at the finish. They look like a very changed force. We spoke about Nicolas Portal passing away during the year. What a tragic loss that was to cycling and to Ineos. But tactically, I think Ineos have changed up what they're doing. They're not imposing themselves. Jumbo Visma are the team we're seeing imposing themselves in the race. Beyond that, Ineos aren't there in the final in force. They're not the same, like we're used to seeing 3-4 Ineos guys and whittling it down. Think back to the Froome years, Ineos whittling it down to the point where there's like 7 left in the group and 3 of them are Ineos on the front. And you know, we're just not seeing that at the moment. Even when it started properly getting hard, like you could see the victims. Sivakov obviously was excused because he'd the crash the other day. Actually, before I jump on and talk about the Ineos, all the Ineos lads getting spat down, because I want to do it kind of in order, or else I forget to cover stuff. Dan Martin is still recovering from that sacrum injury, and this would have been a stage that kind of had Dan Martin all over it. Not really sure what he's doing in the Tour. I don't know. I haven't heard the inside scoop on this one. If anyone knows, hit me, slide into those DMs and hit me up on Instagram if anyone knows what's going on with Dan Martin. Is he likely to come around for the second half of the Tour, or is this sacrum injury, is he literally just riding because it's such a big race for Israel, startup nation, and they need him there because he's a name? I don't know, but he looks a shadow of him for himself at the moment. As I said, Jumbo Visma, absolute dominant. Wout van Aert hit the front, put on such a pace on the last climb that no one could attack. They were literally pinned in line. And then once that American kid, Sepp Kuss, took over, like he was breathing out of his nose. He looked like he was on a Sunday coffee ride. And lads were pinned in his wheel. And Martinez from Cofidis attacked. And Sepp Kuss gave a slight opening of the pace. And you could see straight away where the weaknesses were. And one of those weaknesses was the Colombian superstar, defending Tour de France champion, Egan Bernal. And he cracked like a cheap ornament left above your Maas fireplace. The heat was turned up and the crack started emerging. I don't know. That's what I was saying. I just don't get it with Ineos at the moment. Kwiatkowski was dropped. Carapaz actually lost time. And they're talking about this, you know, Carapaz being equally a strong dual-pronged approach in the mountains. Carapaz lost time. I don't agree. We had Alan Davis on yesterday. It's a good episode to go back and listen to his insight if you haven't heard it yet. But he felt it was a good decision to leave Thomas and Froome at home. I can argue the Froome one. No idea why they left Thomas at home. Once that heat was turned up by Sepp Kuss, Roglic, he took over, and it was the Roglic show all the way to the line. And a Slovenian 1-2 with Roglic and Pogačar, the man whose name no one can pronounce, 1-2 on the stage. Alaphilippe is holding yellow. Notable names that lost time there. Carapaz, Hershey from Sunweb, Roach lost a bit of time as well. Let me just scroll down through the GC. The front group had 16 in it. Basically, everyone would expect to be there. Was there Bardet, Uran, Port, Mollema, Chavez, Dumoulin, Yates, Landa, Pino, Bernal, Lopez, Alaphilippe, Quintana, Martin, Pogačar, and Roglic. Emmanuel Buchmann lost time. Wouldn't have expected it, or well, he wouldn't have expected it. I would have probably expected it. Einar Mass, movie star, just don't seem to have a team leader. Mass is not a team leader. He's lost 9 seconds and a pretty innocuous finish there. Valverde lost time. Roach lost time. Carapaz lost time. Martinez for EF lost time. Higita for EF lost time. Hershey lost time. You just don't want to be losing time. Barguil lost time. There's a few victims already. And Aru as well. Fuck, Aru 117 for UAE. A few victims already very early at our first test. So I think we've seen that Roglic has in fact recovered from that Dauphiné crash. I'd speculate and thought he had. I'd heard from a few insiders that he was moving well. So that's great to see. We have Bennett and Sagan tied on the same points for the green jersey at the moment. And yellow jersey, we have Alaphilippe leading 4 seconds from Yates and 7 seconds to Roglic. Tomorrow, we're on to stage five. We're going Gap to Privas. It's 183 kilometers with two Cat 4 climbs. It's a sprinter's paradise tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to criticise Bennett here. I think he lost yesterday's stage. Very narrow margin. He lost again, stage one, narrow margin. He needs to stop going for the intermediate sprints, I think. Think back to the Cavendish days when he was just pinning on these stage wins every time, stage win, stage win. Energy conservation was one of the key points of it, and Bennett's not going to win the green jersey in Paris. You know, he can't get over the hills with Sagan. He's tied at the moment. I know it'd be cool to wear the green jersey for a day, but honestly, no one really cares about the green jersey wearing it for a day. Go win a stage and, you know, you'll remember that and fans will remember that forever. So I would like to see Bennett not going for the intermediate tomorrow and putting all the eggs in that basket for the sprint, because I think he needs to be at his very, very best to beat Caleb Ewan, because he looks a very worthy opponent at the moment. Folks, that was it. Stage 4 of the Road Man podcast for the Tour de France. I'll bring back in more guests in the next couple of days. I would ask you to jump on over to patreon.com/Anthony_Walsh. That's the way to support the podcast and make sure the show keeps rolling to Paris. Thanks for listening and Viva la Tour!